The following is a RackRadioShow.com exclusive.
And welcome to the Rack Extra Reviews right here on WildTalkRadio.com. He's Rock, I'm Lindsay, and we're back with episode 4 of The Royals. And it is the night the lights went out in London.
Dum dum dum.
All thanks to King Robert.
Ding!
You mean Max Brown, former guest of the show?
Yeah, former guest of the show. If you haven't listened to the interview, which, why haven't you? Unless you're new to the show, then of course you haven't listened to it. Then go check it out, RackRadioShow.com, where we talk to King Robert himself all about the new season, and he gives us some insights to what's going on with him. So it was a lot of fun to talk to him.
You can find that in episode 2 of the Rack Extra Reviews. The Royals.
Yes, but we are going to jump right into this episode because a lot happens in this episode. And well, we have to start out first with the London blackout caused by King Robert. He shuts down the power grid and London is thrown into chaos.
Yeah, it is.
There's looting, there's rioting, especially in that dastardly South London. Seems to be a problem area.
Yes, it does.
Just a little bit, which conveniently is where Jasper is, by the way.
Yeah, because he was, as we last left you, he was being transported from the hospital back to the palace via the ambulance. Well, at this point, the blackout happened. He was in the middle of it all.
He's in the middle of it all. They shut down the bridges between South London and North London over, I believe, the Thames. So nobody's able to get in or out of South London. And Jasper is stuck in the middle of the fray. But before we get to Jasper, we have to go back to the palace because, well, there's some stuff going on there. First and foremost, Robbie goes out looking for Jasper. Looking in quotations.
Yeah, he was going out to look for him. He was, Eleanor wanted to know where he was. And it's like, I'll go find him. And they were all concerned for him, but he's the king after all. He'll go do it.
So there's that. Helena is missing in this blackout, and comes to find out that Helena has gone down to the wine cellar and is trapped in the wine cellar with not only Cyrus, but her mother as well.
That was a nice little surprise seeing her there.
That was a nice little surprise seeing there. Dutchie is always a good time. But we end up playing Truth or Truth with the trio, and we get some interesting insights into all three of them. And especially Helena, because she's much more contemplative this season. She's not as, I guess, dastardly as she has been in past seasons. Maybe even cunning.
Yeah, I would say that.
At least for right now. We'll see. We'll see how she fares. Later on in the season, we all know Queen Helena. She doesn't take much lying down.
No, well,
except the Prime Minister.
And other folk throughout the... Anyway,
the heart-wrenching details continue as Liam is also out during the blackout, which is hilarious because during this whole time, everybody's like, nobody in or out of the palace, and like half the royal family is not in the palace at that point.
No.
They're just kind of coming and going as they want because to hell with everything. So Liam, in his regret, goes to see Greta because at this point it's all hit the fan with her. He's threatened Robbie and it didn't go down the way he planned. And well, Greta knows what's up because Liam walks in and she's sitting there getting drunk, absolutely distraught. And, you can already pick up that she knows what's really going on.
He couldn't.
Because he's an idiot. Prince Liam, everybody, is an idiot.
Or he was doing his best to, try not to have it come out. And yeah, he was trying to, I guess, I don't know if sweet talk's the right phrase, but...
He was trying to smooth it over.
Smooth it over, yeah.
Because there is regret on his part for what he did. He doesn't like what he did. And so I think he's trying to make amends for her because I don't believe he ever meant to hurt her. She was just, basically collateral damage in this entire quest. And somebody had to get hurt. And it ended up being her, basically. We find out Greta's father was all too happy to tell Greta about Liam's actions in the office. And then we find out that the father has not only motion sensors, but cameras in the office as well, which of course he does.
Of course. So he showed her the footage. And he was very happy about doing so, according to her.
Yes. And so Liam continues to try to make things okay with her. And she's just like, well, now that everything's out in the open and there's no more secrets, do you think that we could be together? And Liam's like, yeah, not so much. And she's like, out and don't come back ever.
Yeah. You take the one-way Uber, go, bye, see ya, gone.
See ya. So Liam Tim leaves, and that is the last, for now, that we see of Greta, sadly, which you gotta feel bad for her.
Yeah.
But one thing on the positive is Liam does tell Eleanor, or not Eleanor, Greta, you know, everything I said to your father about you being amazing and you having greatness inside you and all of this stuff, that's true. Like, I really believe that. So there's a little consolation prize for her. It wasn't all fake.
A little bit, yeah.
I think if anything, Liam was like, hey, so can we be friends? And I totally go bang my brother's ex. Okay, thanks, bye. I think that's what was going on there.
Possibly.
Didn't work, though.
Didn't work, though, no.
Anyway, moving on to Eleanor. She is back at the palace. She's the only royal that is accessible at this point. And the people of London have come to the gates of the palace. They're scared, they're tired, they're hungry, they need refuge. They've seen the lights at the palace, so they know that there is power or minimum power there. And so Eleanor is basically like, I'm fourth in charge, nobody else is here, I'm letting people in. And Willow's like, wait, wait, you know, we said no one in or out of the palace. And Eleanor's like, F that. Sarah Alice comes along with them.
They're corrupting a minor, and it was tremendous.
They're corrupting Sarah Alice. I love Sarah Alice's and Eleanor's relationship. It's so adorable. So basically they go out there, they find, they use light tubes, or the, like the, not light tubes, but like the glow sticks.
Uh-huh.
The glow necklaces for parties and everything. They use that as a way to guide people through the tunnels into the palace, up into the palace. So, you know, and Eleanor gives this really rousing speech before they're going to go out there and do it of, it's our responsibility to take care of people. They're coming to us. They're looking to us for guidance. They're looking to us for something more. And so, you know, it's our duty to help them in their time of need. And God damn it, I'm going to help them.
It's what you do. It's what you do.
It's what you do. And then she looks at her bodyguard and she's like, and if anybody tries anything, you shoot to kill.
Are you serious? Was the response.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
And she's like, well, shoot to me. So anyway, so they go get everybody and they bring them up to the Red Stateroom where they get whatever food they can find, whatever beverage they can find, which happens to be caviar and champagne.
Yeah.
And
because the queen was throwing some sort of party the next day.
Yes.
So they took that food.
So they took that food that was all that was on hand that was ready and that they could have ready. So basically they feed the people with caviar and champagne. There's a good time. And Mr. Hill shows up. God bless Mr. Hill.
Where's the king? He went to go find Jasper.
And
he gets exhausted. He has that exhausted look. He's like, oh God, no.
Mr. Hill is like, does anybody have this family have any regard to security? Like, pretty much at this point, half the royal family is missing. He has no idea where any of them are. Eleanor's the only one there. And he's just like, what the hell is going on? And he's like, I can't deal with this. This can't possibly get worse. And then he walks into the Red Stateroom. 5 seconds later, he walks back out and he's like, it just got worse.
I need a drink.
I need a drink. Tell my daughter who's pouring out to come give me a drink.
Oh, that's great.
It was awesome.
He is one of my favorite characters in the show, low key. It's like, he is, his one-liners or his little moments are fantastic. You don't need him in the full show. It's like, when he shows up, he's there for a little comic relief.
He's there for a little comic relief. He's kind of the opposite of what Ted Price was.
Oh, the complete opposite.
But I wish he was in it just a little bit more, because I love him so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I get it. You know, I think he's there on a somewhat limited basis, so that's why they use him very sparingly. But I love him so much. He's amazing.
Very underrated character in this show.
Yes. Anyway, we cut back to South London, where Jasper is stuck in an ambulance. They had been driving him to the palace, and they get surrounded by an angry mob. And the drivers take off, and they're like, yeah, I don't get paid enough for this shit. And so they run off, rightfully so, and leave Jasper, who's strapped to a gurney, in the back of the ambulance. The rioters show up and start rocking the ambulance, and he's like, there's no drugs in here, just go away, just leave me alone. And so somebody runs them all off. And then somebody starts to break into the ambulance. And, well, there's light in the face, you can't see who that someone is, and then slowly the light goes down. And lo and behold, who's there for Jasper? But his father. What?
Right? What? Why is his father in London?
I don't really know. None of us really know why Jasper's father is in London. So, well, we get a little bit of Jasper's backstory with his father. Basically, you know, he was a low-down, good-for-nothing SOB, and Jasper wants nothing to do with him, and the dad's like, sure, you know, let me take you back to the palace, and yada yada yada, and Jasper's like, what are you doing here? Why, you know, and the dad's excuse is basically, you got shot.
Let me help you, kid.
Let me help you, kid. And Jasper's like, I want nothing to do with you.
And then he, like, storms off, and he, like, moves his arm, and, like, he was trying to, you know, move his arm away from his other arm, and, like, and then he goes down because, you know, his was just shot. So his father eventually helps him, and there's, like, they start moving, they talk a lot, and it's like, there's no way I'm taking you to the palace. No way.
Or no way you're going by yourself.
Yeah.
Because you won't make it.
Right.
So those two set off on their misadventures through South London. And I have to tell you, the guy that they got to play Jasper's father, I really kind of love.
He's the perfect little slime ball.
He's the perfect little slime ball. It's excellent casting job on that part. Meanwhile, we see Robbie running around South London. He finds the ambulance, but Jasper's not there. And so he starts to make his way back towards the palace. And in his most kingly fashion, he comes to one of the bridges. And there's a crowd there. And they won't let them pass. And so Robbie gets on a car. And he makes this rousing speech about, let this be the night that we all, you know, unify. That we all come together. That the wounds are healed. And we all become one people again. You know, long live the king, keep going, carry on, all that stuff. And then he gets down and he tells the troops to stand down and does the whole let me pass thing, bringing the people with him across the bridge into North London as a symbol of unity, basically.
Yeah. Now, before we continue from that point, I want to go back to Jasper and his father for a second.
Okay.
Because there's a key moment in this whole thing where they eventually do split up. It's where they... You know, he's walking by some shops and he's thinking about looting one of the shops. For Sue, he goes, that's just about my size. And that's sort of where they split apart. And he, as Jasper leaves, the father is now going to try to break in and loot it because, you know, it's a blackout. Everything's fair. Do whatever you want, supposedly. And he goes to throw the rock in the thing and it bounces right back and he goes, son of a bitch.
Yeah, it's like, aw, damn it.
Well, that was a key moment, an underrated key moment of the thing. Anyway, go back to where you were.
I'd like to say, though, that just for the record, Jasper's father, for all his terribleness, does preach a lot of truth.
He does.
There's a lot of truth in that man. Mm-hmm. It's a terrible truth, but it's a truth. So anyway, moving on from that, basically... The morning comes, the power is partially restored, so everybody in the wine cellar is set free, and Cyrus and Helena leave Dutchy down there, who is passed out asleep.
Oh, before we gotta mention one more thing about Dutchy. She's taking a lover.
She's taking a lover. She's writing porn down in the cellar. She's writing him erotica.
Yeah, because apparently she's broke and, you know. Things like that.
Yeah, and that's the reason she's there, is she's couch surfing because she has no money and she doesn't want her Italian account to think that she's dowdy, so she's come to the palace to receive her Italian count,
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that, because we meet the count, and if you're thinking what we're thinking, then you kind of already know where we're going with this, but still, so the morning comes, Robbie comes back, and... With the people that he brought across the bridge, and offers them shelter and food and everything, you know, at the palace where he's like, come, sit, you know, all this stuff. And Eleanor meets him outside and he's like, I didn't find Jasper. I don't know where he is. And Eleanor's like, okay. So she takes everybody inside and Eleanor goes inside and there's Jasper waiting for her, and the two forget where they are. It's just them alone in the room, and they run up to each other and they kiss in front of everybody, and picture and videos are taken. So oops, it's out. We find out who Jasper Frost is dating, and it happens to be the princess. Oopsie. Which, of course, it's very well received by the people that, you know, they're together. Mm-hmm. So yay. And Robbie comes back, and Willow is super excited to see Robbie. She's thrilled. She's, you know, it's like, oh, thank God he came back okay. And basically the result of that is Willow realizes that she has feelings for Robbie, and she's like, I want to be back on the list. Dum-dum-dum-dum! And things progress from there. So Helena comes up, they all hug and embrace, and, you know, everybody's happy to see each other. And Liam, I think, comes back at some point.
Yep.
And he's not, and basically he's like, I want to heal, I want to start over, I want to make it right. And that's what he's going to do. And he apologizes. So now we get to the count. So basically he arrives and Helena and Eleanor and Jasper and I want to say Liam. Was it Liam or was it Cyrus? There are four of them there. I just forget who the fourth was. Anyway, they receive the Italian count, who is none other than Jasper's father running a con. And Jasper's only response is FML.
Yeah.
He's like, crap.
No, he was FML. That's what it was.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. It was tremendous.
It was tremendous.
But then there's the closing scene of the show.
Yes.
Where Robbie calls the Prime Minister, and what was the line he used?
Does this sound like ceremonial to you?
As everyone outside is chanting, God save the king.
Long live the king.
Long live the king, yeah.
Yeah. Where basically Robbie's like, because in the beginning of the episode, or I think it was actually in last episode, Robbie got told, well, you know, you're largely ceremonial, you're a figurehead, you have no real power. And that's primarily why he shuts down the power grid is, you know, it's, oh, you think I don't have power? Watch this.
Supposedly he was the one who did it. We don't know for sure. Though, you know, he did do the countdown. So
he did do the countdown. He at least knew about it.
At least he knew about it. Whether he did it or not, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know about that. But he was at least in on it. So this was a fantastic episode just from storytelling perspective. It moved a lot of stuff along. We got more details and more backstory into people. And, you know, it's like, what's interesting was the truth or dare scene in the wine cellar with Dutchy and Cyrus and Helena. And we didn't really go into it, but it's a really great scene because it dives deeper into Cyrus and Helena particularly. And then Helena and Dutchy's relationship where a lot of truths come out because they're sitting down there essentially getting drunk.
Yeah.
Is what they're doing because they're trapped. They can't get out because the door is electric. So they play truth or truth instead of truth or dare because, you know, nobody wants to do the dares because there's only so many things you can do and none of them want to do them to each other. So it's truth or truth. And they talk about Violet and what happened to Violet and how Cyrus was almost relieved that something did happen to Violet because that basically left him off the hook.
Right.
And Helena talked about her children and how her children were great in spite of her because she had no greatness inside of her. Or she felt she had no greatness inside of her. And so anything her children did, anything her children became that was great was in spite of her. That's basically they get it from their father. They don't get it from me. And then Dutchie's like, yeah, I killed somebody. What do you want to do about it? Fight me.
Come at me, bro.
Come at me, bro. So, yeah, but a really, really great episode. I love this from top to bottom. And it's a nice continuation of the story we're seeing. Robbie and kind of Robbie's in-game sort of beginning to be revealed in this, where he's making a bid for power, but he's doing it in a way where it's not entirely obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be interesting to see what happens next episode with that. And him and Willow.
Should be interesting to see. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited.
Same here. So, I guess that does it for this week's episode.
I think so. So, do the plugs.
Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LNSWRD. Go to my website, psychboarddesigns.com. And if you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitters. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to the Rack Extra Reviews right here at wildtalkradio.com. And we will be back next week with episode 5. You don't want to miss it. Till then, bye!